Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me, as always, is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Eric. Happy 2018. How are you?
I'm doing great. And yes, this is our first podcast of the new year. And not only are we heading into a new year, we're heading out of a deep freeze that has covered most of the country.
Yeah, we were almost going to change the subject matter to life in the tropics today, but we decided to stick with what we were planning on doing. Is that the plan?
Yeah. There weren't too many places you could go to keep warm during this. They had snow down in Tallahassee. They had snow in Georgia. They had snow in New Orleans.
And Long Island Sound is freezing a little bit.
Yes, Long Island Sound is starting to freeze solid. Fortunately, we're at the tail end of
freezing. It feels like beach weather.
Fortunately, we're at the tail end of this, and things should be warming up this week.
Yep, 50s by Saturday.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
You and me both.
So as the weather warms up a bit, we're going to talk a little bit about warming up your business for the new year. And we're talking about choosing your business development strategies. You know, that's so much of what we do. How are we building our business, getting new people in the door, keeping existing customers? It all comes down to business development.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of traditional methods out there, networking, advertising, and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think what we need to talk about, too, is some more of the outside of the box type strategies out there. And then also, you know, with so much stuff going on online these days and so on and so forth, and not understanding that, the possibility of outsourcing some of that just to make sure that you're getting it done, because I think a lot of people are just scared of digging in online because they don't know what's happening. And I'm kind of like Exhibit A a little bit. I could be using the internet a whole lot better, but there's a whole lot of different things you could be doing there with a good program. And obviously that is the biggest, fastest growing market out there for business development is the internet.
Oh, absolutely. Most of your customers are already on the internet, which is a bonus because it makes it easier for to get to them. But it's also a detriment because it makes it easier for your competition to get to them. You know, used to be your competition was whoever it was in your local vicinity. Now your competition is no further away than somebody's phone.
Absolutely. And there's, again, with the internet out there, one of the Audible books that I just recently listened to, which is about 10 years old, is a book called Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. And he talked about using different social media platforms and so on and so forth, starting out actually, most importantly, working for yourself and for your family and so on and so forth. But he talked about putting the strategies together and just working endlessly. And he took his father's wine business and turned it into a multi-million dollar wine business online and a lot of other things just through strategies there, which he discussed in that book. So I think he's coming out with a sequel too to kind of update what he talked about 10 years ago. But it's what the internet does. It's the great equalizer. And if you have your passion going for you and you have yourself organized and you have a plan and you use the resources properly, you can literally crush it, as the book talks about.
Yes, and it gives you so much more reach than you would otherwise have. If you're running, say, a retail operation, there may only be so many people in your local area that are interested in what you're selling. But once you move online, there are so many more potential customers that you can get to. You can reach them. They can purchase from you right online. And it's becoming easier and easier to use online tools.
And yeah, in fact, exactly what he did with that wine business. He started a blog and he started out reaching out and so on and so forth, became known as an expert in the field and just blew that up nationally so quickly. It was amazing.
And that's actually a good place to start what I like to refer to as expert marketing. And what this is you have to present yourself as an expert in your business, in your topic. So if you're selling wine, you need to present yourself as an expert on wine. And you can do this through blogs, through social media posts, through podcasts, through videos on YouTube. And it's so much easier to create this media now. To do a video on YouTube, to shoot a video, you used to need all sorts of equipment. All the equipment you need is pretty much located in your phone. If you've got a smartphone, you've got the camera, you can shoot the video, it gets the audio, and actually the footage comes out pretty well. And if you look on YouTube, most of the videos you'll see are not these super productions. It's somebody sitting in front of a webcam.
Yeah, and obviously it's a whole lot cheaper than going out and spending a bunch of money on a big production too. And the bottom line is, I mean, the internet is, it's just so relationship built that it really doesn't matter what you look are. As long as you know your subject well and you're passionate and you're talking fluently, people are going to listen to you, and whatever's going on in the background is what's going on in the background because they're interested in you. And that's the way relationships are, whether it's the internet, obviously, or networking or anything else. But getting that face out there and getting people to see you as a real human being doing what you're doing, if you do that well, it does magic for you.
All right. By presenting yourself as an expert, you become known for that topic. So, of course, when somebody thinks of, well, where am I going to buy wine? They're going to look at the guy they've been watching on YouTube or the guy they've been listening to on a podcast or reading their blog that's an expert on wine and go, well, I've been reading it. I know he knows what he's talking about. What is he recommending? What is he selling? And it goes far beyond wine. You can do this with anything. I mean, if you're a plumber, talking about how to keep your pipes from freezing during a deep freeze, whether in a video, online on a blog, you could show diagrams. If somebody sees this, go, oh, okay, he knows exactly what to do. If there's a problem with your plumbing now, you're going to go to the expert that you just took the advice from.
Yeah, and oftentimes these days, if you do have a question about anything and you type the question in Google, you're going to pull up a YouTube video that shows you exactly the answer that you're looking for so that you can actually see it there. So that's a fantastic resource.
Right. YouTube all by itself is now the web's third largest search engine. It's beaten only by Google's main site and Facebook. And that's another thing when you're posting on social media. People are searching social media for the answers to their questions. So you want to make sure you're putting out your expertise where they're looking.
Yeah, so it's a combination of having that in your website, but also putting together the platforms to do that. This gentleman who did the wine thing, he had a podcast, or still has it going on, or actually a video show, where he interviews other people and so on and so forth, and just has a whole lot of fun with that. So that's one way to be a resource, but obviously contributing to things, sharing information with others, which I know that you do that a lot for your own business, is sharing information with people through the social media.
Yeah, it's a great way to get information out. And when you're sharing information that is not selling, it brings in a different audience. When you're selling, the only person you're getting are the people that are ready to buy right now. But when you simply provide information, you're hitting a much wider target. And then these people may not be ready to buy right now, but when they are ready to buy, you're at top of mind. So yep. They know, I've been getting information from this person for 2 months, 6 months, a year, whatever it is. I need services that he does. I'm going to reach out to him.
Yeah, by being that credible free resource, as you said, when people are ready to come, they're going to be looking at people just like networking or anything else that they know, like, and trust. And even though posting stuff in a blog or sharing information and so on, just by doing that without asking for anything in return, you're developing that knowing, liking, and trusting just by the way that you're doing things.
Exactly. And social media especially is a two-way street. You can respond to other people. They can respond to what you're posting. So it becomes a conversation rather than simply you sending out mail. And it's becoming more and more automated so that you don't need to be on as much. Facebook pages, which if you don't have a Facebook page for your business, I recommend you do one immediately. It's not a substitute for your own website, but it is a great companion to it. It brings people from Facebook to your website, to your information. But what Facebook has done is they have set up what they call chatbots. So now you can set up these automatic chatbots for your business. And if somebody contacts your Facebook page, the chatbot will contact them automatically. And you can automate greetings, information, so that if someone is just looking for something generic, a lot of times the chatbot can handle it on their own. If they need to talk to a person to, if they want to buy something, the chatbot then can notify you, hey, there's a person on your Facebook page right now that wants to buy.
It's pretty amazing how things have progressed.
It really is. And you're seeing more and more of this. There's a lot of automation you can use. And I use quite a bit of automation in my business. However, I always recommend being careful. If you are using simple automation, basically, if this happens, then do this. That's great. If you start getting more complicated, things can go awry. I know one person was using a lot of automation for social media, and they were connecting it back to their email. So if somebody posted on their social media sites, it would immediately go to her email, and she would know to respond. Well, she made one small mistake. She went on vacation. And when she went on vacation, she set her email to send out automatically if somebody emailed her. I'm out of the office from this date to this date. I will contact you, when I get back.
Wow.
Because it was tied into her social media, every time somebody posted something on her social media page, the email posted that in response. And it was going over and over. And worse, because there was some other automation going on, you actually ended up with a loop where the two bots were telling each other that nobody was available.
Wow, that's amazing. And then she set up a GoFundMe page to kind of fund her recovery afterwards.
But no. Well, fortunately, I actually caught it fairly early on and let her know what was going on, and she disabled it quickly. But it could have caused quite a bit of problems. And there's also more, more in automation where you're dealing with AI and voice commands. I'm sure everybody has seen commercials for Amazon's Alexa, for Google Home. And the algorithms for these things are, quite frankly, not ready for prime time.
Yeah.
So you actually spend a lot more time yelling at the device to try to get it what to do what you want to do than it actually would take for you to simply do it. So while I am a big fan of using automation, don't jump onto the bleeding edge. Let the tech mature. Choose technology that has been around for a while that you know works, and it'll save you a lot of headaches in the long run.
Yeah, and if you're somebody like me, which I'm sure a lot of people out there are who don't know it as well as you do, it's really, really important to get somebody involved in your team that does, whether it's having them do it for you or coach you through it or whatever. So, but it is so important. Obviously, there's a lot of other things you can do besides the internet, which is really, really fun and an important way to do things. But getting back to traditional means of networking and so on and so forth, those are still very, very strong strategies to use too. But putting networking on steroids means using it in the way that it's meant to be used, which is developing relationships and strategic partnerships and vendor systems and so on and so forth, people that you can rely on for anything that's going on, and you then become, and all of the people that you're working with become resources for each other. So, and that just takes a whole lot of planning and taking a look at what you're doing and people that you need to be networking with and working with to get the things done, and that kind of thing. And then some of the outside the box things you folks can do out there is start putting together your own events as a team and telling the public to show up for this and that, whatever. There's a lot of things you can do, especially with partners, to get things done. And most importantly, make people aware of what's going on just by throwing your own party out there. So networking strategies are very, very important, but you do have to strategize for those also.
Right. And it's important to remember that the networking event itself is not where you're going to sell somebody. That's simply where you meet them. That's the beginning of the funnel. You follow up, you get to know them. And then further down the line, when they've actually gotten further into your funnel, that's when you go, you know, I think you could probably use such and such. Whether that's your service or somebody else's, you make that connection. But when you go to the event itself, that's not the place to sell.
Especially if you're new. If it's your first or second time at an event, that's not the time to go out there and try and sell. It's time to go out there and just introduce yourself and get people interested in meeting with you afterwards to get those relationships going. And then obviously, when you go to like a chamber event that meets regularly and other events that meets regularly, you're going to have a lot of people there who are regulars to help out the people that aren't, as far as that goes. But again, partnering up and doing things as a result of those meetings as a follow-up is so important, because a networking event is just that. It's a one-timer, but what it's all about is relationships, which are ongoing. And the great thing about relationships is the R word that result is resources, and resources pay you off over and over and over again. So that's what it's all about.
Exactly. And you know, some of the oldest methods for business development come around again. One of the most effective things we're seeing now is actually direct mail. Because for a long time, direct mail was not effective, because people went to their mailbox, they had a huge handful of mail, they threw out all the junk mail, they looked if there was anything important, and you never got past that first filter. Now, so little actually comes in the physical mail that when you send something, people actually look at it. And while a high-quality postcard or a flyer is great, if you actually send, you know, a letter in an envelope, a card in an envelope, it grabs people's attention.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And you're right. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, before mass email and spamming and so on and so forth, spam used to be paper. I call it paper spam, but that's when you go to networking meetings and there's 30 flyers in front of you before you sit down for the meeting.
Right.
But you're absolutely correct. I mean, there's less of it now, so you're more likely to look at it. And if it looks interesting on the surface, the open rate or the look rate, I'm sure, is a whole lot higher now than it ever was.
Oh, it certainly is. And by the same token, not every older technique is holding up as well. For example, cold calling. Cold calling was always difficult. Now it's next to impossible because we've been so overrun with robocallers that most of the people that I know, certainly, but a large majority of the people aren't even picking up their phone if they don't recognize the phone number it's coming from.
Absolutely. I mean, when I get one, if I don't recognize the number, I'll just go online. You can plug in the phone number and it'll tell you if it's been reported before. And more times than not, it has been. And so on your iPhone, the first thing I do is just go block it for the future.
Right. And now they're using new techniques to spoof phone numbers. I've gotten phone numbers from colleges, from hospitals, from the U.S. government. And none of these are real. They're all spoofed numbers that, you know, they're robocallers. And I personally have reached the point where if I don't know the number, I let it go to voicemail. If it's important, they'll leave me a message and I'll call them back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you really have to take a look at all of these different methods. And a lot of them work in concert with each other. You send out an email. The email grabs somebody's attention. That brings them to your website. The website gives them details, but maybe not the personalization that they need, so they call you from there. It's putting all of these together that really grows the business. Whether it's social media, direct mail, email, whatever your primary method is, it always has to work in conjunction with all of your other methods.
Yeah, and with all the methods out there too, it's really, really important for you to track how you are having success. It could be, as you say, sending out an email, having somebody hit your website and giving you a call and whatever, but if you take a look at the people who actually call you back and you have tracked exactly how they've gotten to that point, you're probably going to develop a trend as far as what's working best for you. So it's really, really important, rather than just stabbing in the dark, to track the way that you're doing things and the result you're getting from those.
Oh, it's very important to track your results. Where are people coming from? It goes back to the old 80-20 rule. You know, 20% of your efforts are getting you 80% of your customers. If you don't know which 20% it is, you're wasting a lot of effort and a lot of money. You want to know where they're coming from so you can focus your expertise and focus your efforts.
So there's a lot of different things that we've covered here. It's really, really important to, again, identify exactly what you are looking to do and taking a look at the different resources available to you. And as we had just talked about, coming up with your different strategies to do it. But I think a lot of it, again, gets back to developing those strategic partnerships with your network. Obviously, now that you have the online out there, you are able to develop relationships with people that you've never met physically, but because they're good people to network with and partner with online, those are great things to go after also. I mean, there's a lot of websites out there that have affiliation pages and things like that, people that they use for resources and that kind of thing. So the networking aspect and the social side of things is so, so important to really leverage that, get that organized and leverage that. There's a lot of ways to do it that you probably haven't even considered yet.
Oh, absolutely. Not long ago, Facebook added a new feature where you can ask your Facebook friends for recommendations for certain items. So if you're looking for a restaurant in a certain area, I've seen asks for recommendations for electricians, for plumbers, certainly for restaurants, for resorts. And you send that out to the people you're connected with. Because the assumption is if you are connected to these people, you have a certain amount of trust in their opinions. So just the same way traditional networking worked offline, the same thing works online. It's building that network of resources that you know, like, and trust that you can turn to and go, hey, I'm looking for XYZ. Can somebody recommend one? And they, in turn, can recommend you.
Yeah, and as a business, a lot of businesses are out there and people are out there approaching their friends and so on and so forth and on Facebook and everybody that they know to get them to go and like their page and follow them and do whatever they're doing so that they can become resources for those people. That's being encouraged a lot, and it's a great business development strategy to, without really being forward and pushy, get other people to realize, you know, that you'd like to have them use you as a resource.
Absolutely. It goes back to what we were saying earlier about Facebook pages. They're a great way for you to showcase your expertise, for you to become a resource for people, and to help you find other resources. And that's really what it's all about, is reaching out to potential audiences to see what's out there and let them know that you're there. You know, you could be the best there is at what you do. If nobody knows about it, they're not going to hire you. So we're just about coming up on the end of our time. So Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway our audience should have from this week?
First, identify the results that you're looking to achieve, and then take a look at the different resources out there to achieve them and just get going trying them out. But very, very importantly, track the results and where they're coming from so that you develop the system that works best for you.
Absolutely. I think the big takeaway for me is you want to present yourself as an expert, and you want to make it as easy as possible for people to connect with you, whether it's in person, online, through email, through phone, through social media. You want to be available to people when they need you. Being that resource brings in customers and builds your business. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, and wherever you find your podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever and make next week even better. See you then.